on, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sports Stories with Bic here on Raw Football Talk. Thank you for your continuous love and support each and every single week on the different social media platforms, on Instagram, on Twitter. Like I say, every single week, the 10 of y'all on TikTok. We appreciate y'all. And we also appreciate the new merch line that everyone's been loving and supporting. So we truly appreciate you guys. And there's jerseys on the way, so keep you posted. Today, I have a special guest on the show. This episode has been a year and a half in the making. I have a good friend of mine, my buddy Benyam. He is a former podcaster, which, you know, it's crazy how sometimes life comes full circle. But he's an NBA insider for NBA Australia, and he's a really cool dude. One of my good guys that I met for, maybe it's been like what, year and a half. So met Benyam year and a half ago. You know, people say, you know, just go on LinkedIn and shoot your shot. But ultimately, I had a great friend of mine who also knew him, and I saw his content, and I worked on a story. He loved it. So I just hit him up on Instagram and been showing love from the jump. So Benyam, appreciate you, brother. How's it going?
No, appreciate you, my man. Good to finally be with you on the airwaves, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So just to start off, tell us a little bit about yourself, background, upbringing, that sort of good stuff.
I'm Ethiopian Eritrean. I was born in Kenya, moved to Australia when I was two. So I've been out here for a minute. Grew up here, and Australia is a sports crazy country, so that's the number one thing out here. So I was kind of hooked from the jump. So sports kind of always been part of my life. So I always kind of wanted to make that, you know, my career. And I'm lucky enough now that I can work in sport full time. I'm the managing editor of NBA.com in Australia. We have a version of NBA.com out here that I run. So, you know, ballers life. I grew up playing ball my whole life. So, you know, now I'm lucky that I can watch basketball and get paid for it.
Yeah, definitely living the dream, my man. And you said you played basketball. So this, I kind of know what you're going to say, but if you had to choose, which one's your favorite, playing or covering basketball?
Ooh, that's tough. You know, I'm 33 now, so the knees ain't working like that anymore. So maybe cover. But no, nah, I still try and get up and down the floor when I can. You know, obviously COVID kind of shut down all the basketball competitions, so I haven't hooped in a minute outside of the park. But it's still, you know, the sport that I love, and I try and get out there as much as I can. But you know, to be able to come to work every day and you know, just talk about basketball, which is, you know, what I'm doing with my boys, you know, in the group chat all day anyway, it's a blessing.
It's funny you mentioned the group chat. We thought about this podcast, I would say, right after the 2018 World Cup or right before it. And we just thought like, there's about 10 of us in this group chat that talk about football day and night. I'm talking 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning when people are trying to sleep. And you're like, you guys are still on that? And it's like these random debates, like, why is Chelsea better than Man United? Prove the stats and the Drogba versus Rooney, that sort of thing. And it's like 3 a.m. in the morning. I was like, guys, let's just do a podcast, man. Forget this group chat. Like, you know, I think we all, you know, share the passion and the love that we have for sports. So why not making something happen? And ultimately, you know, just like everything in life, that was like the sowing of the seed per se. And then now, like, I wouldn't say like three and a half years later, after a huge COVID year and a half, still doing it. And so it's a blessing. And another thing, I'm glad you mentioned, you know, your knees and, you know, they trouble you as you play. I've been playing basketball recently, and I literally went to GNC the other day, and I better get a sponsorship after this. But I went to GNC to get some Triflex soft shoes, and it's good for like joint mobility and flexibility. And I need that because every time I go hoop, it's like my left knee just flares up, and I'm like, dude, am I 24 or am I 94? Like, why, how am I getting arthritis? But
yeah, bro, the knees on concrete don't go, man. I'm first team all washed.
Hey, Hall of Fame scrubs Hall of Fame. There you go.
I know all about the 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I'm a big football fan as well. So the Premier League don't come on till 10:30 at night, 2 a.m. kickoffs. Like, so we're all about that late night Premier League life out here in Australia. I know the struggle.
Hey, dedication, my man. And I think you mentioned that you are a Manchester United fan.
Yes, sir. Dwight Yorke, Anthony Cole. Those are my guys back in the day.
There you go. There you go. I'm glad you mentioned Dwight Yorke and Andy Cole, because nowadays we're not doing so hot. And obviously, you know, Ole being part of that team and him being turned into prime Sir Alex Ferguson when his job is on the line. How do you feel about Manchester United?
Bro, Ronaldo keeps saving this man. You know, I'm still rocking with them. You know, the squad is crazy. Like, anyone who thinks this isn't a good team, like, this collection of talent is unbelievable. You got Cristiano Ronaldo, Jadon Sancho, Rashford. Like, the transfer window was huge, but putting the pieces all together is not an easy thing. You can't just roll out 11 stars and go, you know, go get it. Like, football is a team game. You have to have strategy. You have to have a little more to it than relying on talent. I think that's kind of what Man United has been getting away with in the games that they have been winning. They haven't necessarily actually been playing that well. They can just hit you on the counter, and they've got enough talent that they will find a goal. They will find a couple of goals. We saw that against Atalanta as well. But I like Ole. He's a son of United. I want him to do good, but it's getting to the point now where this development stage is over. Like, we got a elite squad. They need to be contending for everything. You got Cristiano Ronaldo on your team. There's no way we're trying to make the Champions League. You're trying to win the Champions League.
Yeah, definitely. I think Claude from AFTV, may his soul rest in peace, said it's time to go a couple of years back. And so I love Ole.
Be busy to the end of the season.
he's done that before, but Ole's definitely got to go. So kind of segueing back to your career, what made you pursue a career in sports?
I mean, I always loved sports growing up. I played football, basketball, and tennis when I was younger, and always loved being around sports. I knew pretty early that I wasn't going to be a professional athlete. So I was like, let me see how I can pivot and still be involved in sports in some capacity. So, you know, going back to like the 10th grade, when they make you go out and do work experience for like a week or two or something, I did that at the local newspaper. Was working in the sports section, and you know, from then that was a wrap. I was like, yeah, this is the job I want to have. And you know, I was always good at English in school and writing or whatever, so I kind of just thought, hey, let's just put these two things together. There wasn't really anything else I wanted to do, so I was like, let me just put all my eggs in this basket. And it's, you know, it's kind of worked out. So I think it was the right decision at the time, and I think it was the right decision right now, because, you know, it's an enjoyable job to be able to cover sports. I mean, covering the NBA is crazy fun. You know, I mean, I've covered a lot of other sports in the past, but, you know, to be able to cover the NBA full time is a lot of fun.
It's funny you mentioned how you put all your eggs in that one basket, and you essentially thought like, hey, I'm good at writing. I like English class, and I'm a huge sports head, and might as well put those two passions together, because that was exactly my frame of mind. That was exactly my thought. I remember driving one time, taking my little brother to school, and kind of asking him, because it was a senior year. I'm like, hey, you know, it's your senior year. What do you plan on doing? Like, what's next? And he was mentioning like real estate and, you know, a bunch of other things that was on his mind. And I was just telling him like, hey, if you have two things, like if you're good in one course in school, whether it's like English, math, science, history, whatever it is, and you have one passion, try thinking like, maybe I can combine these two passions together, because that's exactly what I did. And like, being Habesha, your parents are not ecstatic when you say, hey, I want to be a sports reporter. They're like, what? You don't want to be a doctor, a lawyer, engineer? Like, what's going on? So it's definitely something that, like you said, it's fulfilling, but you also have to prove to them first, like, you can do it, because you can say you want to do it. And not just to them, most importantly to yourself, because I think Master Tesfazione, which is, I would say, one of the greatest, you know, sports reporters, you know, also being Habesha as well, tweeted something.
Shout out to the homie, man. He's doing big things.
Yes, sir. Shout out, Master. He tweeted something one day, and I remember seeing it and putting it as my, you know, when you graduate, you need like your senior quote or whatever. I remember it was like this, like this time last year, as I was graduating undergrad, I used his tweet, which says, quote, everybody has a great idea. Legends are made by execution. And I was like, yeah,
It's one thing to talk about it. You got to be about it. It's
100%.
Especially, you know, when you're doing something that might not necessarily be the track that's sort of gone before you. Like, you know, especially as you said, as Habashas, you don't really see a lot of guys doing this, you know, before you. Like, you know, so there's no real blueprint for you to kind of do it. So you kind of almost have to be the blueprint in that capacity. Like, you know, I was kind of lucky, you know. I think my parents knew I wasn't going to be no doctor or no engineer or whatever. So as long as I was doing something, you know, professional and, you know, something that I was good at, they were like, okay, well, if you're going to do this, then just be the best at that.
And that's essentially how we connected too, because I did a feature story on him and he reposted it. And then you saw it and you liked it and you followed me. And I saw that you knew him and I was like, okay, he's also a Habashas. So that's how I reached out and boom, right off the bat, you know, it's like just... things kind of clicked just like that. It's funny how things work nowadays, but that's definitely a blessing. And so just wanted to put that out there. Now I have a question for you, because this is something that's I've been thinking about recently, and it's like, so you know how sometimes in life you're in a cross path. So you have an opportunity lined up, but you also have something that you truly love and cherish. Like for instance, you had your podcast with your friend that you started doing during your college days. And ultimately you're in a position now with the NBA Australia. When you knew you had that opportunity, how long did you think about it? Was it something that was like a split decision, or were you like, hey, like, I love what I'm doing. Like it did there's a term for it. Did that imposter syndrome ever kick in, or were you like fully confident in yourself?
Oh, it's here till this day. You know, you got to fight it every day. But, you know, when we started doing the podcast, that was, you know, we'd both graduated, you know, so I'd studied sports media at uni, and, you know, there wasn't a ton of jobs. You know, this was, you know, 2008, the height of the economic recession, and nobody trying to hire anyone at that time. So especially in media, you know, there was no jobs really around. So I did a very, very useful degree at that time. So I was just working other jobs. And we just started the podcast as a bit of a goof. Like he was living in London. I was living out here, and it was more just a way for us to kind of catch up and talk hoops, just do what we normally did when we were in college. So it kind of just started like that. We didn't really think it was going to turn into anything, but you know, at the time there wasn't a ton of coverage of the NBA in Australia. Like it wasn't really as mainstream, I guess, as it was now. It was very much just people who like basketball, and that was kind of it. So we got a bit of a following, and you know, people kind of resonated, you know, because you know there wasn't a ton of other coverage out there. So we did that for, you know, 7, 8, 9 years, and you know, it was just fun. Like we just, you know, we got to do a lot of cool things, and you know, travel to the States, go to All-Star games, and do a lot of cool different things like that. So at the time when the NBA came calling, I was working at Yahoo Sports. I was covering any and everything, Australian football, cricket, tennis, kind of whatever. But I was always still, you know, wanting to do NBA stuff, because we were writing for our own website, doing the podcast, and you know, we were doing a lot for that. Like it was a big kind of thing, but it was, you know, it was fun. And that was ultimately what I wanted to do. So I think it was 2016. The NBA kind of launched out here, and we're really trying to sort of put their footprint down, and we were kind of doing it at a pretty high level, and yeah, that was a wrap. Once the NBA came calling, I was, you know, that was it for me.
There's nothing like that late nights and early mornings grind. I think that was a song by Nipsey Hussle, and it really keeps me going. It's like that's what it really is. You know, you have your 1 a.m.s, 2 a.m.s, and then you got to be up at 7 a.m. and do it all over again. But if it's something that you truly love and it's fulfilling, it's not a job. It's what you love to do. So
you couldn't and wouldn't do that for something that you didn't love, like work a 9-to-5, come home, eat or whatever, and then just sit at your computer for another 5-6 hours. Nobody's really trying to do that for something they don't love. But, you know, with the time difference and everything, we'd be doing shows at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. You know, finish up, go to sleep, wake up, go to work. And we're doing that, you know, for years. But, you know, it was fun. Like the things we got to do, the people we got to connect with, you know, it was a blessing. So, you know, that kind of grind when you want to do something like that you love, it's, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's easier than something that you don't necessarily love.
What time is it over there in Australia?
It is 11:30 in the morning out here Friday. We're in the future.
and it is 8:25 p.m. right here in DC. So essentially, that's the embodiment of late nights and early mornings.
That's what's up.
Shout out, Nip. The marathon continues. All right. Welcome back, listener. We are going to get to the favorite part of this show, the segment where Benyam has to pick one. Benyam, you ready?
Let's go. Let's go. I'm down.
All right. So it has to be right off the top. Like, I ask you a question and boom, you got to choose maybe 5 second tops.
Okay, let's go. I'm ready.
All righty. Pick one. Kobe or Jordan?
I got to go Kobe. And, you know, growing up in the 90s, the Bulls were everything out here. But there was like three teams people went for. The Orlando Magic, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Chicago Bulls. So I always rock the Shaq because I love Shaq. So I was never a Team Jordan guy. I obviously love Michael Jordan. But, yeah, Kobe was different. I still am an Allen Iverson guy, so I never loved Kobe like that at the time because he was going against my guy. But there was that respect for Kobe. I love Kobe.
Have you heard the rumor where a documentary is scheduled to drop in like in August by Netflix? It's like
yeah, August the Netflix 2022. Joint. That's gonna be crazy. That better be 10 parts too.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Last Dance for Kobe, essentially.
That's gonna be crazy.
Worst NBA saga. Kyrie and the Nets or Simmons and the 76ers?
I'm going to say Kyrie because this is avoidable. Simmons, there's cause to this. You know, we can see what kind of led up to this point. But yeah, Kyrie, I mean, with all due respect to Kyrie and the decision he's making or whatever, I mean, there's a way around this, you know? And when you want to win, you got to do what you got to do. So I'm going to say Kyrie just because it seems more avoidable. Simmons doesn't seem like this is going away anytime soon.
So it's essentially choosing to stand out and not fit in and trouble in paradise.
Yeah, I think so. I think the Simmons and Sixers situation, I don't think there's a way back for that. So I guess that probably is the worst NBA saga, but in terms of Kyrie can do right by his teammates, get the vaccine and hoop. There's a solution. So for me, it's worse because there's an easy fix here. What are we doing?
Obviously, athlete activism has been a thing for so long. And when you see all that money that Kyrie's putting down on the table and is just saying like, hey, it's fine. Doesn't matter if I'm not getting all this money, I'm going to stand for this decision. Sometimes you think, okay, well, it's his decision. You got to respect it. But for something like this, it's like you said, it's avoidable. For Simmons and the 76ers, it's like when you have, I think there was a quote by Joel Embiid where he's like, I'm not here to babysit. I was like, whoa. Then
these are grown men. These are professionals. They're trying to win a chip. And, you know, it's got to be tough for his teammates, but, you know, it's got to be tough for him as well. You know, they tried to trade him multiple times. The way they kind of went out after that playoff series. I mean, I don't blame Ben Simmons for feeling the type of way. And we've seen this before. Anthony Davis, James Harden. We've seen it recently. There's cause. I mean, we've seen an outcome for this kind of thing before. A player is disgruntled. He wants to get traded. Sure, Simmons is maybe doing it to the extreme, but this isn't the craziest situation. We've seen this. We see this every year. Jimmy Butler, this isn't the most out of the ordinary player team kind of conflict.
One storyline that I can think of, and it's the last thing before we move on to the next pick one, is like when you see right here, I have the Isaiah Thomas jersey because IT is like my hero when it comes to basketball. When he got traded for Kyrie, I was like, yeah, it's Kyrie. He just won a chip with the Cavaliers and LeBron. But man, IT was like Mr. Showtime. Fourth quarter, hashtag that slow grind. It's like, you understand it. Obviously, it's, you know, it's business. It's not personal, but it's just like, dang, like he put his heart and soul on that court and, you know, his sister passed away and he balled out. And it's just like, dang, like at the end of the day, that's when I realized like you can really sacrifice and put everything on the line. When it comes to a job, you can go all out and beyond. But the very next day, you can just get let go just like that. And it's just a harsh reality. And even in sports, working in sports, it's essentially it's a similar thing.
I was going to say with IT, it is business, but to some degree, it is personal, given everything that he kind of went through, obviously with his sister. He put his body literally on the line, cost himself, what, 150 mil at the time was the max. Like, they were supposed to pay him. Like, you couldn't help but feel or take it personally if you're Isaiah Thomas. That one stung, because he did everything right. He did the work. He went above and beyond, and there was a big payday kind of coming his way. And it just kind of shows you, like, it is a cold world. It's a business. Like, don't get it twisted. This is not a let's make everyone happy, let's be friends situation. This is, sports is a business. It's a results business. And, you know, the Celtics did what they had to do because that's in the best interests of them. But, you know, that's, and that's why when we talk about player loyalty and franchise loyalty, I will never blame a player for chasing the check, chasing the bag and looking after themselves, because we saw what happened with Blake Griffin. They put his jersey up in the rafters, talking about being a Clipper for life. 6 months, they ship this man to Detroit. Come on.
It's in real life sense, it's like a early marriage. Okay, you met someone for about 6 months, you get married, then boom, 6 months later you're divorced. So that's just how it is sometimes. Next one. Super early NBA championship prediction. Lakers or Bucks?
My head tells me the Bucks. But you know, I love Melo. Melo's been my guy since day one. I obviously love LeBron. I'm rocking with the Lakers and the old folks home. I think they got to get it together, injury-wise, if they can stay healthy. I don't know if the Westbrook thing is going to work, but I back LeBron to be the one player to figure out a way to make it work. So I want to see the Lakers win, just because I want Bron to get one more chip as well. But don't sleep on the Nets either. Even without Kyrie Irving, that team is stacked. That team's going to be a problem. You got my guy, Patty Mills, out there. We saw him on opening night. Hit 7 threes. Don't worry about Kyrie. You got Patty Mills there.
There you go. Fourth one, second to last. Have you ever had panettone?
Every holiday. What are you talking about? Christmas, okay. Easter. If I'm with my parents, there's some bunna and panettone on deck every time.
All righty. And I think Aaron Johannes, so I think, you know, covers the Bucks in the past and obviously hopped on the podcast a couple weeks back. He tweeted one day that Injera and Coca-Cola, it's like the GOAT elite combination. It's
bro,
like,
that had me dying. Aaron's my guy, man. He's
the stat he's of Hall of Fame Kyrie. Twitter. Yeah, yeah.
The 41-41 game.
Yeah. Kyrie and LeBron.
Coca-Cola and Injera is an undefeated combination.
Oh, okay, because my follow-up was Coca-Cola and Injera or Panettone and Bunna, if you had to choose one.
Ooh, I got to go Panettone and Bunna. I'm a big coffee guy, so once you put coffee in the equation, that's a wrap for me.
Over Injera and Coca-Cola?
I can still enjoy Injera without Coca-Cola, you know? I don't know if I could enjoy Panettone without a Bunna. It's a team game.
Can't have one without the other.
Yeah, yeah. Injera's Hall of Fame on its own. It's strong enough to stand, but Panettone needs Bunna. You can't just be eating no dry Panettone.
Hey, Aaron, if you're listening, go figure, my man. To each his own.
Let's go. I'll argue this.
All right, and then the last one, this one I think will be the toughest question I give you yet. All right, so this is the battle of the Habesha goats: Yemani Badia or Teddy Afro?
Well, don't do this to me. Probably because he got the most airplay at my house, probably Teddy Afro. Just that was a bigger piece of the picture, so I gotta give respect to the goat.
I have a story on both Yemani Badia and Teddy Afro real quickly. Yemani Badia was actually born the day that I passed away. Yemani Badia passed away the day that I was born.
Yeah, so he's come back through with you. The spirit transfer is real.
Hey, bro, listen, that is mad love right there, man. Because you know how Jay-Z had a song one time, I think it was like Murdered Excellence with him and Kanye West and The Throne. And he said that he arrived the day that, who was it? Oh man, I'm blanking on the lyrics, but he's like, It's like civil rights activists from like the 60s or 70s. For one second, I can't mess this up. Fred Hampton. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I arrived the day that Fred Hampton died. Real legends just multiply. And I think about that.
There's something in that.
It's crazy, bro. I think about that story and it's like, dang. It's like, and the only way I find out is my mom told me the day that I was born, the whole country was in mourning because essentially the Bob Marley, the Michael Jackson of Eritrean culture, passed away. And she had wrote down in my birth certificate that I was born October 5th, but I went on Wikipedia and he's born November 5th. And so I have two birthdays as a result of that. My legal birthday is October 5th, but I was born November 5th and I can't change it unless I go back. So in every legal document, like I can pull out my driver's license, my passport, everything says October 5th. So legally speaking, I'm 24, but technically in real life, I'm 23. So
you're not the first type of shit with a fake birthday, my man.
Hey, January 1st. Happy New Year. Happy birthday. And a quick note on Teddy Afro. Teddy Afro is actually a legend in his own right. And I think I went over to my brother's place a couple years back and I think it was the first day of George Mason when I went and transferred and I was running late. I couldn't go home and change, but I had my stuff with me and I had to go to his place and just throw on a top and go to my first day at Mason because his place was only about 10 minutes away. But I needed to shower. And as I go in the bathroom, he's literally blasting Teddy Afro. And I'm like, dude, I've never heard you listen to Teddy Afro before. So I'm like, okay, go figure. I got 5 minutes. How am I going to keep track? I'm going to put on, I will buy you a wash. I will buy you a wash in 5 minutes. I was just jamming out. And yeah, man, it's just like, I know, like you said, you've lived in Australia your whole life. And for us, we were born back home. We've lived here in DC for about 15 years now, but you can never forget where you came from. And I have an Eritrean flag right in front of me in my room that I put up because it reminds me, like it really humbles me whenever I think, wow, I have it tough, or I'm just like, dang, like today's crazy, I'm stressed. I just look at that flag and I'm like, nah, you are good, my man. You got your family members back home that are going through so much that would love to even spend a minute of your life right now. So it's
That's the old saying, you don't know where you're going unless you know where you came from. You know, you can't ever forget. And as Harbishers, your parents wouldn't let you forget. Like even all the way out here in Australia, growing up in like a small town or whatever, like where there was no other Harbishers around, live alone many other black people at all. Like it was still in Jarrah all the time, Teddy Afro Black. I grew up in a Harbisher house. It was just in Australia, like within those four walls, we may as well have been back in Ethiopia.
Big facts. Alrighty, so that was the end of pick one. How was it?
Yeah, I think my Buna Panettone take is going to cause a riot, but I'm a stand on it. I'm gonna stand on it.
I'm gonna die on that hill. There you go. All right, brother. Segueing back to your career, you mentioned how you have experienced a 2010 and 2014 World Cup before.
Yeah, I went to Brazil for the 2014 World Cup with about seven or eight of my friends. We tore it up for about a month in South America.
Take me back to the game where Netherlands played Australia in Brazil and Tim Cahill scored, I think, one of the greatest World Cup goals of all time with that sweet left footed volley.
Fam, I'm telling you, I've been to a lot of dope sporting events. I've seen a lot of cool things. I have never been more hyped for anything in my life than watching that goal go in. We were sitting at the end, like facing Australia's goal. So like, Australian goalkeepers at our end, we see the pass sort of coming out and they had just scored too, like a minute before that. And so watching that play unfold, like to go from the devastation to the ecstasy of watching that, we might have had a few Brazilian Budweiser as well, but we were over the top hyped. Like that was like emotional, like chaos. Like that was still to this day the coolest sporting thing I've ever seen live in my life. That was nuts.
A little story on that day, and I know I'm sharing a lot of stories, but we actually had the cable guy come in as that game was playing. And it was one of the greatest games of that World Cup too. I think it was like 3-2 Netherlands. Memphis Depay probably got a goal. And this was like a young Memphis Depay straight off a great season with PSV. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Robin Van Persie had also gotten a goal.
Yeah, he got the, I think Depay got the last goal. Van Persie got the goal just after they'd equalized, I think. And then Depay won it.
We had the cable guy come in and he was just like working because we were just watching it on satellite and it just happened to be on the local channel and we were catching it. And then the technician was working on the cables. And as soon as Cahill scores, I'm just like, wow, like this is an amazing goal. Like I'm celebrating. And afterwards something happens and he tells us that he's going to go back to his car, to his truck. And he never came back. And it's like, well, like, bro, we're watching the World Cup. We're not watching like a cartoon or something. Like we're watching the World Cup. And he said he was going to come back and he never did. So I had to catch it on my phone. But if you're going to leave, you might as well at least catch one of the greatest goals of that tournament. I mean, you imagine if I missed out on that live. I'm like, I would have never forgiven that cable guy. Now it's like 7 years later. It is what it is. But what a way to go, you know?
Every year I see that anniversary post comes up on Instagram or Twitter or something, and it's like it's still crazy. Like even Cahill scored a lot of goals for Australia and a lot of World Cup goals as well. But like that's the best goal in Australian football history. Like I know Aloisi's penalty to send us to the World Cup in 06, like that was big time against Uruguay. But in terms of like on the biggest stage against like an elite European team to pull that, you know, a Zidane level volley on the left foot. Like that was crazy.
Do you think that goal was better than Van Persie's header against Spain though?
Van Persie's header against Spain wasn't even the goal of the tournament. What are we doing here? I know that was a good goal, but come on now. That Tim Cahill's goal was the goal of the tournament. And I'm incredibly biased, but I will stand on that.
Nah, I'm just ruffling your feathers. I know. Alrighty, so next question. What advice would you give to those either chasing their dreams or just looking to find their purpose in life?
I mean, I think in terms of like chasing your dreams, you got to A, figure out what that is first and then look to those who have done it before you. That was kind of a big thing for me is like I didn't just arrive at this point. I had a lot of people, you know, kind of help me out along the way. A lot of mentors, guys like Lee Ellis from The Athletic and the Starters / No Dunks. Like he's been a guy that's been big in my career and seeing other guys that have gone before you kind of do it. There is a blueprint that others have kind of laid out for you. And, you know, I think that's the best way to learn is to learn from those who have kind of done it. And I think that's been a big thing in my career is, you know, you kind of have to humble yourself a little bit because, you know, you can want something and want to go about it, but there's always people out there that are A, willing to help and B, have already done it, you know, and kind of done what you're trying to do already.
And to kind of follow up on that, I know working in sports can be a bit tough where, like we mentioned, you have these just long hours and sometimes you need to take a break. You need to take maybe a month off, go on vacation, and recharge your batteries. And ultimately, even in this past year and a half, when you have the pandemic on top of that, it becomes a whole animal in itself. What would you say is something that you do to, you know, keep you mentally and physically focused?
I think you nailed it. You need to just kind of switch off, especially in the 24-hour news cycle, the social media cycle. Like I hate how much I'm on my phone. Like my phone is gripped to my hand. Like, and sometimes I'll just leave the house without my phone, just go out and just not have my phone on me just so you can unplug a little bit. But you do need to kind of just give yourself a break as much as you want to be sort of up to date and following everything. Like you don't need to know everything all the time at the time, you know, you can catch up on things and kind of make sure you do kind of recharge. Otherwise, you know, it'll run you down. Sports is a crazy business. There's no real break, especially with the NBA season. You know, it's year round now, so there's no real downtime. So when you can catch a break, you know, make sure you give it to yourself, because that's been tough, especially in the pandemic, because there's nowhere to go. So we kind of just been in it. for the past couple of years. But, you know, it's something I'm very conscious of, because you can tell when you've kind of just been grinding for too long, like you're not at your best, and that's not helping you. It's not helping anybody. So you gotta make sure you give yourself that space when you need it.
And I think it all boils down to routine. If you think about it, that consistency, that discipline, because you can have your friends hitting you up being like, hey, you know, let's do something. Let's, you know, plan something out. Let's play video games, whatever it might be. But when you're on your grind, it's like, yeah, they're your friends and you love them, but I got to get this story out. I'm on a deadline, or I got to cover this. And you can only truly understand it if you live it. Like if you tell someone like, this is what I got to do, and they don't know, even if they know that's what you do, they can't really perceive it until they are in your shoes. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. And at the same time, as much as, you know, I work a lot and I'm constantly kind of doing stuff, I will always make time to go to the bar, go chill out with my boys, play some FIFA. Like you can't be on 24/7. You know, if you're trying to catch these hands on FIFA, just let me know. I'm nice.
You got a PS5 or a PS4?
Nah, PS4. They still ain't even getting the PS5s out here. You can't even track one down if you wanted one.
Okay. Tell the listeners what you told me off air right before we went on. There's no Chick-fil-A in Australia.
Bro, we only just got Five Guys out here like a week ago. I love Australia, but sometimes it's like 1995 out here. We're slow on the uptake with a lot of stuff. I don't even know if there's any thought of Chick-fil-A coming out here, but I had Chick-fil-A for the first time a couple of years ago, and it changed my life. It changed how I perceived what a chicken sandwich should be.
We are here on, I think it's like iPhone 13, and you guys just got the iPod Touch.
Bro, we're shuffling out here.
My man. And then last thing, if you could describe your journey in one word, what would it be?
It's a tough question. Can I get two words? I would say hard and blessing. Because both those things go together. Because the grind is hard, but at the same time, like if I told the 15-year-old version of myself how this was going to end up, I wouldn't have believed him. So, like as hard as it is, and the road, you know, is tough, it is worth it.
It's funny you mentioned that. I was actually thinking about that earlier as I was coming home and my commute, and I remember sitting down and at lunch one day in high school and talking with two good friends of mine, and just, they were asking me, and this was like my junior year, and they're like, so like, what do you want to do? And I'm thinking like, and this is 15-year-old me. It's like, when you're 15 years old, it's like, you think you're like, you're unstoppable. You can do whatever you set your mind to. Like, you're like, okay, I can do this. Like, I remember 15-year-old Bic was like, I can be a historian. I can be a lawyer. I can be a consultant. Like, I can do all these things. Cause you're just like now tapping into your skills, your gifts, whatever you have. Whether it's like interpersonal, whether it's something that is tangible, whatever it might be, you find your social skill, what makes you tick, what makes you. But ultimately, it's just like you kind of get a bit big-headed at that age because you think you can do it, but you've never really done it. And there's a fine line between confidence and cockiness. So you just have to be careful with that. And I just remember thinking like, wow, I was so like big-headed when I was 15, and my biggest goal was to make varsity that year. And I ended up just playing JV, and I only played like one game and I blew my shot. And afterwards, it's like, I was like only 15 years old, and I got anxiety for the first time in my life because like I put all the eggs in one basket. And then when that didn't come to fruition, I was like, I didn't even know what that feeling was. But ultimately I had a great support system. My mom was telling me, she's like, dude, don't be a statistic. Just whatever, like pain meds, whatever it is that they give you, don't take it. Just at the end of the day, remember, pray in the morning. Remember, you got family members and loved ones that support you. You can be as open, as honest, as raw football talk, as raw as possible. And we'll be there for you. And that's when I realized like, wow, you know, it's all about not just what you, like yourself. And obviously, you know, you got to believe in yourself, but you got to give people their flowers as well. And I've been keeping in touch with a lot of my friends that I haven't talked to in years, and just hitting them up out of the blue and say like, hey, how's it going, man? Love you. Hope you're doing well, that sort of thing, because you just never know. And I know you kind of mentioned it's tough. Like, life is not meant to be easy, but at the end of the day, how do you overcome it? It's through counting your blessing. So I'm glad you chose those two words. Usually I only give people one, but I'll
decide. I got a hyphen in there, but I completely agree with you, man. You know, when you're young, you have that beautiful combination of either arrogance and naivety. So you think you can do it. You don't even know what you're doing, but you just have that feeling. But at the same time, you know, shouts to Jadakiss, you know, I'm not cocky, I'm confident. So when you tell me I'm the best, it's a compliment. So that's just how it is when you're young and you don't know better.
I wish I can do his ad lib, but he's like,
that's my guy. I love Jadakiss.
Hey, I don't know what it is about today, bro. But one last thing. I was also driving my little brother and he threw on some Jadakiss as we were, you know, I actually had to stop by and take my dad to the, like, his eye doctor. He just got like his medicine and he couldn't drive. So we had to pull up on him and take him home. But I remember him playing Jadakiss and you mentioning that it's just like, dude, life sometimes it's like a movie. Like, I remember one day driving with my pops and just looking around and I'm like, dad, like, Bubba, like this day feels like a movie. Like, it feels so surreal because I think we were visiting family for the first time in a while, and just like it feels so surreal. Like, everything that you go through, like us being, you know, the son of immigrants, and like, it's just like how life works sometimes. You know, at that life experience, like it's like a domino effect, but you don't truly think about it until you reflect. Like, if this didn't happen when I was 5 years old, this moment right here, like 15 years later, would totally be different. And it's just, I don't know, maybe I'm getting too like philosophical on it, but it's just how life works sometimes.
Oh, for sure, man. You catch yourself sometimes because life moves fast too. Like, so you don't often get time to reflect. And I know I'm like that. I'm always looking to the next. What's next? What's next? Like, you don't often give yourself time to go, just let me decompress for a second and actually appreciate the present, you know? So it's definitely true like that.
So you said it best. What's next for you, my man? What you got in store for us?
Bro, that's a great question. You know, I'm gonna keep doing my thing with the NBA, seeing where it takes me. We're trying to do a lot of different things out here in Australia. It's a huge kind of time for basketball right now. We're living in the golden age, coming off that bronze medal at the Olympics. So things are only getting bigger and better. And that's what I'm passionate about is telling these stories of these guys that are doing big things and making a difference. You know, we got great ambassadors for the game. You know, guys like Patty Mills. And everything that he means to the country, and you know, even new Aussies like Matisse Thybulle, you know, Dante Exum, there's guys out there doing great things. So being able to tell those stories and you know, really be a part of bringing the sport forward in this country, and that's kind of what you always kind of go into it with, is you want to leave it better than when you found it. And I think right now things are on the up, and they're only going up. So you know, It's a good time to be in basketball in this country right now. So I'm excited, man. The NBA never lets you rest. So it's gonna be a fun season.
It's a good thing the NBA is keeping you busy and you love what you do, because Manchester United would always let you down.
that's my escape. I'm a sicko like that. When I want to relax, I watch Man United, but they're breaking my heart of late. And you know what? I don't even mind if they're losing. I can't handle playing this. I don't know what kind of football we're playing. If we're getting up and down the field, scoring goals and really balling, I can handle the L's. If we're playing two holding midfielders and not trying to win any games, that's when I'm out.
That McFred double pivot, bro. It's like, it literally is no tactics, just vibes and counterattack. Yeah.
That's it. Free my man, Donnie. Free my man, Donnie van de Beek. What's this guy got to do to get on the pitch?
Oh, real.
it can't be worse than what we're currently doing.
But we'll save that heartache for another day. How can people?
We'll get into it on a separate Man United venting podcast.
How can people keep up with your work?
NBA.com in Australia, so au.nba.com, NBA Australia on Instagram, NBA AU on Twitter, and me at Benyam Kidane on both Instagram and Twitter. You can find all of my my musings, my NBA rants, and the occasional Man United tweet here and there when things aren't going too good.
Well, Brody, it was a blast having you, and I think it's definitely been well worth the wait. Just want to give your flowers before we wrap up. keep doing you, keep doing all these great things. I'm glad that you took the initiative, because sometimes, you know, people are really busy and, you know, and I don't take it to heart, you know, it takes time for people to reach back out to you, but, you know, you made time for me in at a time in my life where I had a goal, and that was to graduate and have my first job, like right out of school. And it was tough because I didn't have that job, but ultimately I still had my last maybe 2-3 weeks in undergrad. And, you know, just you reaching out and just saying like, whatever you need, just let me know. It really meant a lot. And ultimately, like we said, it's just sometime life comes back full circle. And a year later, you know, I got this pod, you're doing big things. And, you know, I think we're all much, not just ourselves, but the whole world is slightly in a better place than obviously 2020, the pandemic. So long may that continue.
Oh, we're only going up, man. I appreciate you, bro. I'm proud of you. You're doing big things yourself, man. You got way more together than I did at your age, man. You got next in this space. It's only growing from here.
Appreciate you, brother. Glory to God as always. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. Thank you, Benyam, once again. I kind of want to leave off with something. I just think of something on top of my head. So I will leave you with this. The highest human act is to inspire. And I believe Nipsey Hussle said that. And for me, and I believe for yourself as well, it's not about $1 million, but it's about a million people that you can inspire that makes life fulfilling. So appreciate you, brother. Have a great one.
Shout out, Nip. Rest in peace.